The purpose of the Vedas to all conditioned souls. They practice penance, tapasya, and tolerance, tatiksha. And they realize the position of the living entity and the Supreme Lord, Anubhava. These are the eight qualifications of the Brahmanas. Therefore, among all living entities, no one is superior to the Brahmanas. Purport. This is a true description of a Brahman. A Brahman is one who has assimilated the Vedic conclusions by practicing mind and sense control. He speaks the true version of all the Vedas. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vaidas chasderaham ilavidya. By studying all the Vedas, one should come to understand the transcendental position of Lord Sri Krishna. One who actually assimilated the essence of the Vedas can preach the truth. He is compassionate to conditioned souls who are suffering the threefold miseries of this conditioned world due to their not being Krishna conscious. A Brahman should take pity on the people and preach Krishna consciousness in order to elevate them. Sri Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally descends into this universe from the spiritual kingdom to teach conditioned souls about the values of spiritual life. He tries to induce them to surrender unto him. Similarly, the Brahmanas do the same thing. After assimilating the Vedic instructions, they assist the Supreme Lord in his endeavor to deliver conditioned souls. The Brahmanas are very dear to the Supreme Lord due to their high sattva guna qualities, and they also engage in welfare activities for all conditioned souls in the material world. So, in the Vedas, there are apparently many different processes. And I say apparently because really the Vedas are bringing one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. To go back home, back to Godhead, and be situated in their original spiritual activities, blissful spiritual activities, in full spiritual consciousness, in association with the Lord and all the residents of the spiritual world there. But that is the actual goal of the Vedas. So the Vedas have one goal. There are, for those, the Vedas can allow one to directly take that process where one takes up one's spiritual activities in relationship with the Supreme Lord and purifies oneself literally through the activities of devotional service, and therefore doesn't have to go through other methods of purification, and achieves both purification and goal through devotional service. That is what is actually recommended to do. Because we don't have faith that there is a God, or if there is something supreme, their material conception leads them to think that it must be impersonal, some impersonal energy. God can't be a limited person. If God is a person, then he becomes a limited thing, and therefore, how can that be? How can everything be situated in a person? How can everything come from a person? That, so then that that is a material logic, and therefore God cannot be a person. So for them, other processes of purification are required to gradually bring them to the point of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God. So it appears that there are other paths, but they're not. They're actually those paths, really just bringing one to the one goal. This is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter, and you see in verse 20, the last verse of that, but I read part of the purport there, sort of top part. Of course, you know, we're reading here about how the Brahmanas are considered to be the Vedas personified. So the best example we have on that is Srila Prabhupada. He's, all the Brahminical qualifications are there, and the teachings, the essential, most confidential spiritual teachings of the Vedas are literally personified in the activities in person of Srila Prabhupada. And so Srila Prabhupada is the perfect one to give us instruction. So in his purport to the Bhagavad Gita, he describes in this chapter from verse 2 to the end, from Mani Visha, no Himam, fixing the mind on me, Krishna, through Yetu, Pramamitamidam, this religion of eternal engagement, the Supreme Lord has explained the process of transcendental service for approaching Him. Such processes are very dear to the Lord, and He accepts a person engaged in them. The question of who is better, one who is engaged in the path of the impersonal Brahman, or one who is engaged in the personal service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was raised by Arjuna, and the Lord replied to him explicitly that there is no doubt that devotional service to the Personality of Godhead is the best of all processes of spiritual realization. In other words, in this chapter, it is decided that through good association, one develops attachment for pure devotional service, and thereby accepts a bona fide spiritual master, and from him begins to hear and chant, and observe the regular principles of devotional service with faith, attachment, and devotion, and thus becomes engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. This path is recommended in this chapter. Therefore, there is no doubt that devotional service is the only absolute path of self-realization for the attainment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The impersonal conception of the Supreme Absolute Truth, as described in this chapter, is recommended only up to the time one surrenders himself for self-realization. In other words, as long as one does not have a chance to associate with a pure devotee, the impersonal conception may be beneficial. In the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, one works without proven results, meditates, and cultivates knowledge to understand spirit and matter. This is necessary as long as one is not in the association of a pure devotee. Fortunately, if one develops directly the desire to engage in Krishna consciousness and pure devotional service, he does not need to undergo step-by-step improvement in spiritual realization. So you see there the significant points are mentioned, that the Vedas are teaching both for those who cannot understand their highest goal is to attain love for the Personality of Godhead and to serve Him, then follow a step-by-step process whereby gradually one becomes purified, one gradually understands that one is not this body but a spirit soul. Step-by-step process. And that can begin on a very elementary level. Very elementary level. that everything helps. And therefore, it is not condemned. So, for instance, again in that 12th chapter, you see that Krishna advises, just try to fix your mind on me, you can't do that, follow the regular principles of the devotional service, you can't do that, do this, like that. So do something. And it gets down to this point where he says, if however you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, so one can't even do a little something for Krishna's spreading God consciousness, then he says, then try to act, giving up all your results of your work, and try to be self-situated. So in other words, you get people who, they do social work, community work. They become nurses, doctors, they work for the benefit of others. They sacrifice themselves for the national interest, protect the citizens within the armed forces. They work for the community give in charity. So, Prabhupada, in the purport, he says, if one decides to sacrifice for the Supreme Cause, even if he does not know that the Supreme Cause is Krishna, he will come gradually to understand Krishna is the Supreme Cause by the sacrificial method. Interesting. So people, they have a sense that by just helping this other man or other living entities, you know, we have so many, something like 3 billion, some massive amount of animals died in the bushfires in Australia. And so many people are trying to help them. They know that they're working for the benefit of the entire universe as a supreme cause. They don't know what that cause is. Still, even from that platform, it is leading them in the right direction. That sacrificing spirit. So it's not condemned, it's actually encouraged. If they don't know more than that, well, what is the supreme? They don't know that, but they're working for it, but they don't know. Krishna will help. That is the method. So, there's step-by-step processes of many, many lifetimes. And of course, in this same age, in Kali Yuga, because there are so many pitfalls that one can, on that slow step-by-step process, one may make some big mistakes or be knocked off that path and not really make any tangible advancement, and can even become degraded by the influence of this age. We see that people who are endeavouring to do good for others, sometimes when there's some profit and there's some fame, they gradually become degraded, and then all of a sudden they're just looking after themselves with the proceeds of what was meant to go to charity. And then they get some of the sinful reaction, and they have to suffer for that sometimes. So, but there is a safe path, an easy path, and that is devotional service. So, but this step-by-step process that one gradually, the knowledge of this, that I am the spirit soul, I am eternal, I am different from this body, gradually arises. The result of all sacrificial works is one comes to knowledge. One acts less on the bodily platform of life for one's satisfaction, one's own body or mind, and more for some higher eternal principle, and it leads one to think about and eternal principle which leads one to understand that I am the soul. And gradually, one's an inclination to knowledge leads one to that. What is the permanent benefit of happiness or unity? And that is the spiritual background that I am the soul. That knowledge of the soul can lead to a higher impersonal realization that there is a supreme spiritual platform where we as a soul exist. So naturally in the beginning that tends to be impersonal, but that supreme platform, Brahman, Brahmajyoti, it exists, I exist there in oneness with the supreme. Merge into the oneness of our spiritual existence. So, but without the association of one who knows the actual purport of the Vedas, because the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is simultaneously one with the eternal living entity, and even one with the material creation, which is part of his entity, as described, that there's a connection between the supreme and even this material energy because it works under his divine will. So there is still a connection there, even though it is material energy, but for the personality of Godhead, as described in the Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, Krishna says, both spirit and matter in me. In other words, he is both spirit and matter. And Prabhupada says that in the third book. Or in other words, for God, there is no distinction between spirit and matter. It's his energy as well. So everything is simultaneously one with and different from personality of Godhead, and this is the inconceivable nature of the Lord. So that inconceivable nature of the absolute truth we cannot understand with our limited material conceptions. We have to learn that process as that knowledge descends from above through the parampara and given to us. We can understand the inconceivable nature of the absolute truth when that knowledge is passed down to us. So Krishna himself, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, you fix your mind upon me, you will know everything about me, the absolute truth. And I will tell you, here are my different energies. We have the spiritual energy, which comprises all the living entities, or individual, eternally individual, parts and parcels of the Lord, little parts of the whole, never the whole. You have the material energy, that is mine, and everything you see is a combination of those, and I'm the super soul, maintaining everything, controlling everything. He describes how various opulences of the Lord, both material and spiritual, manifest in many different ways. He shows us how he is Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, and in his pastimes, lifting the goat down the hill to protect the residents of Vrindavan, little boy lifting the whole mountain with the little finger of his left hand for 7 days, when he's appearing in this world, it's not the appearance of an ordinary person. He appears with 4 arms. Fully decorated in beautiful clothes, garland, jewelry, helmet. That's not the birth of an ordinary person. So, all of his activities, and even at the age of about 90, when he spoke about the Gita to Arjuna on the Battle of Kurukshetra, he was a grandfather, great grandfather. He still didn't age past about 19, a teenager or 20 years at the utmost. So his activities, his form, His knowledge, His beauty, everything, the trance, everything you'd expect from God. So he passes down that information, He appears Himself, just to remove all doubt, you're speculating like this, you're speculating, here I am. I am Prasadgade, and here are the things that I do, and here are the things I'm teaching. So, this, so Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have to hear about that in the association of those who actually have realized the absolute truth and can just pass on that realized knowledge. And also, now this is a very important factor here, that the qualified Brahmin or the devotee of the Lord, who is the personification of the Vedas, when one associates with them, they see that literally their character, their qualities, their personality, their activities are exactly 100% in line with the transcendental descriptions given in the Vedas. That if one is a pure devotee of the Lord, all the good qualities are manifest, and one's activities are completely transcendental and completely pure, and there is no material, one is not entangled by the material energy, one is not attracted by the material energy, one develops this intense, pure, loving service attitude to the personality of Godhead, and is completely protected by the personality of Godhead. So all those different attributes, they're found in the actual, here it describes Brahman. Actually, Krishna said to Arjuna, you are the true sannyasi. Actually, the highest level of Brahman, of being a Brahman, is sannyasi. If you become the perfect sannyasi, a perfect Brahman, you're known as sannyasi. That means the highest level of being situated on the platform of Brahman. And the highest level of sannyasi, who has full control of the mind and senses, tolerant and everything, and the highest level of yogi as well, at the same time, mind and senses completely controlled, is the Vaishnava, because not only are they situated on the platform of Brahman, liberated, but they're situated in the variety, in the activities, the unlimited varieties of activities which are all on the Brahman platform. That is the Vaishnava. So some sannyasis, or jnanis or yogis may come to the Brahman platform, that's very rare. And there are different levels of Brahman realization actually being situated in fully in Brahman. But the Vaishnava, that once you come to that liberated platform, then what are the varieties of activities in Brahman? Because the spirit soul, if the spirit soul is so active even within this material body, then imagine how active the spirit soul is when not in this material body, right? You know, for the Vaishnava, there's so much potential to be active, even if they become old. I was just hearing about Brahmada. He passed away the other day. He was saying, you know, that day, she passed away, she was passing the flowers, and she made a garden called Nityananda. Literally, in so much pain, so much suffering, so much difficulty, but the act, the desire for the, of the soul to be active in the service of Krishna is just unlimited. And therefore, the devotee feels, this body is like a ball and chain. I drag it around. I want to do so much service to Krishna, but I have to drag this body with me like a ball and chain. It slows me down. There's so much activity that I want to do, but this body gives me trouble. So therefore, like some of the devotees who passed away in recent weeks, Krishna gives them spiritual body. So therefore, Krishna said to Arjuna, you're the true sannyas. Arjuna was a grihastha and a military man. Nor did he want to sit in yogi meditation, and he was the highest yogi, because he was the highest level of Brahman, because he was situated fully only in the unlimited varieties of Brahman activity, or the activities of the spirit soul in the eternal loving reciprocation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, blah, blah, blah. So, when we see such a Brahman, which is, this is what is mentioned here, these type of Brahmanas are being mentioned. We should not be proud of this Brahman, and do the little deity worship, cut up some food offerings. I've done Bhakti Sastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, or one Brahman. This word being mentioned is Anubhava. They realize the position of the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Now, we use this word pavitra, right? That devotional service is described in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as pavitra. It is what it says is this knowledge, Rajavija. Right? So the knowledge of the devotees, as we've said, is confidential. I'm a spiritual soul. There's more confidential. I'm a spiritual soul which is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and my duty is to engage in his devotional service. And it's the most confidential of the activities of pure devotional service that go on the spiritual platform, either in this world or the spiritual world. That knowledge is called pavitram. And Prabhupada mentions that it's called pavitram because it is that knowledge is the purest form of activity. In Bhagavad Gita, we hear of transcendental knowledge being not different from transcendental activity. There's no difference. Therefore, Arjuna asks the question originally to clear this up. You're telling me about transcendental knowledge, you're telling me about Buddha Yoga, and then you ask him to fight in this war, this ghastly war. So, Arjuna taking our part, where we don't actually understand that engagement in pure devotional activities is not different from transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is not a platform where one just becomes a chance, alone in a secluded place or whatever. Transcendental knowledge means one is always active in fulfilling the most confidential desires of the Lord, which is the plan of the Lord that all these conditioned souls go back to the spiritual world. That is His most chosen. They're really God's children. Therefore, one who preaches Krishna consciousness, and you notice the purport here, Prabhupada, the whole thing is preaching. Because the most purified form of knowledge, in other words, those who realize the imports of the Vedas, they understand we should serve the personality of Godhead. And those who have higher realization, that it's not the type of service where we, you know, wave some lamps in front of the Lord and collect some funds and, you know, enjoy the facilities of being a highly religious person. It's actually undergoing all sorts of difficulties, tolerating all sorts of difficulties to sacrifice one's life, one's blood, sweat and tears to help someone on the path of devotional service. So you see, Prabhupada, because he is the actual embodiment of the sanctification of Vedas, he has, even if he had a few paisa, a few dollars, it went to that cause. And Prabhupada, when he was trying to publish these books, which he wanted to spread all over the world, rather than catch a rickshaw or what have you, he would walk in the hot sun to the point sometimes he passed out. But to save a couple of rupees for the benefit of others. Sometimes walking in the street, he was bored by a cow, a bull. Living very difficult circumstances. Not like some temples, I won't mention, some temples in India, I won't mention to anybody. Millions and millions of dollars come in each day. And you wonder, where is the temple spreading up all over the world with that money to save the conditioned souls? Where is the book distribution, and from that millions and millions of dollars, the generation of many, many qualified Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis giving their association all over the world? No. There's some waving of lamps, some ritual, collecting the money. All of that money should be used for preaching. That means, therefore, we see the difference between Srila Prabhupada, he's actually the personification of the ladies. The Lord, he has full faith in the Lord, and he has full faith in the Lord's mission that we should take time, take it upon that personality. So this is and in that association, it describes in the ninth chapter, again in the Bhagavad Gita, very significant point. No, I've got, sorry.
This is a big...
Oh, the bigger one? Yeah, that's probably better. Thanks. Yeah, that's good. As you can see, I like to ransack the gear. Oh, it's gems. But, I'm trying to find that. Right. In the third verse, the ninth chapter, those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, a congregation. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Purport. The faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service that is the third point of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. So, Prabhupada established these institutions, not for collecting money. The prime purpose is to create a class of devotees who are trained to practice devotional service and assimilate the purports of the Vedas, the most comprehensive knowledge. One cannot intellectually understand the most confidential aspects of Krishna consciousness unless one practices that in the association of the devotees. It is not an intellectual process. And faith is created by an association of devotees. Unfortunately, people, even after hearing all the evidence of faith literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is the most important factor for progress in Christian consciousness. So, when we hear Jagara, he's not saying that you come to this platform of liberation for your own freedom from misery. Yes, that is it. But unless one develops all the good qualities, how do we generate faith in others? It is because when people associate with the devotee and they can see that person has transcendental qualities. I don't have faith that Krishna is God. He appears to be a little blue cow here brought to me. And if you're from India, well, there's so many gods. Why be Krishna? There's millions of them. Even the people that go to the temple is in Tirupati, they worship their fathers. Still, they worship the, they'll go straight from there to the demigod temples that you are just the same as Krishna Bhakti. There's no difference. Does this temple the same? And, you do your little worship and you get the good luck. But that had very little faith. But when one associates with good quality devotees, their association gives people faith. And therefore, and of course, one cannot be a true devotee unless one develops good qualities. So that is also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter. Krishna mentions so many different wonderful qualities, and at the end he says, in verses 19 of the 12th chapter of the Gita, Srila Prabhupada says, we may find some repetition in the descriptions of the qualifications of a devotee, but this is just to emphasize the fact that a devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. Hello, Abhakta Sakatul Mahad Gunaha, one who is not a devotee has no good qualifications. One who wants to be recognized as a devotee should develop the good qualifications. Of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications, but engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him to develop them. So here, and as Prabhupada mentions at the end of this purport, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Brahmanas are very dear to the Supreme Lord due to their high sattva-guna qualities. And they also engage in welfare activities for the conditioned souls in this material world. If we want to become dear to the Lord, then by the practice of devotional service, one's activities become non-different from the transcendental knowledge one is cultivating. In other words, one becomes personified, the teachings become personified in one's own activities. But one cannot perform transcendental activities without transcendental qualities. Or to the level one has transcendental qualifications, one can perform transcendental activities. Isn't it? If one has material qualifications or material qualities, then that limits one's degree to be compassionate and work for others, because one's still working for oneself. A person who is the more we have the spiritual qualities and the devotion to Krishna, then the more it's possible to actually engage in transcendental activities. And our transcendental realization is never greater than our transcendental activities in devotional service. If we engage in devotional service on a certain level, that level of devotional service, Krishna responds within the heart with assimilation of Krishna consciousness, because he is very attracted by one's endeavor to engage in devotional service. And one marks one's progress in Krishna consciousness by the transcendental qualifications one has. So quite often Prabhupada says, if we become free from sense desire, that is a test of devotional service. If we can test it. Not that, we're consumed by thoughts of sex all day, and at the same time, I'm a great devotee, I have so much. It's a test. Prabhupada says again and again, these qualifications. How much we're on the Sudhasattva platform, how much we're free from envy and desire, they're the test. Those qualifications. Not that we're trying to get qualifications for the sake of it, but how do we increase Krishna consciousness, which are the qualifications of which are the activities of liberated persons, if we don't become liberated? And the greater our realization that Krishna is God and every living entity in this material universe is suffering just because they do not have Krishna consciousness, the greater that realization is, the more one will preach Krishna consciousness. But preaching Krishna consciousness, again, it's not that we just go out and artificially, back in the back of the gear on people's head, read it, like that, come to the temple, otherwise you're living like cold dogs, camels and asses. And not like that. Preaching means that you plant the seed of faith, that they associate with the body, and that's enough for the seed of faith to be in their heart. There may be something in it. They see a body and they think, I like that person. There's something transcendental. Let me look into this. That little seed of faith is there. Preaching means you take that seed, not that they come back to the temple, okay, finish with you, give a little donation, off you go. No. Preaching means, okay, now let's stand that. From Kanishka Adhikari to Madhyama Adhikari to Uttama Adhikari. That's preaching. Now we fill the temple with devotees and then, okay, that's it. We don't care about them so much. We're just going to preach to people on the street. Or I'm preaching, neglecting my family. Preaching means our wife is a devotee we're trying to cultivate. Our husband is a devotee we're trying to cultivate. Our children, our neighbours, our friends, our parents. Not that I'm a big preacher, if I go out on the streets and do a big discussion in a public crowd and get on national news and Facebook and what have you, on the big picture. But if I sit and speak with my wife and children about Christian consciousness and develop a nice relationship so we have good faith and respect, and they're inspired to, you know, engage in devotional service, there's no high fame for that. I look like an ordinary attached Grihastha. That's preaching. In fact, actually, family members, children, they should be the first candidates for preaching. They're usually the most eager for our association. You know, the wife is always eager for the association, the husband always eager for the association, the wife and the children, that's natural. Then they should be the first candidates. But that means that our activities in family life also should be transcendental, whereby the members of the family or friends, relatives, that just by your association, they also may want to look into this Christian consciousness more and more over the course of a lifetime. Not that, you know, preaching means I become a guru, I get to sit on the asana and everyone sees that I am the leader and, you know, now I'm a preacher. A preacher should have compassion for each and every spirit soul. So that is a real qualification. You know, understanding. If this spirit soul loses the opportunity to Christian consciousness, what a great tragedy that is. How much suffering that person has to go through. How many lives I've had to suffer. Not being able to take advantage of this Dhamma's movement. Not being able to take up this wonderful process to be able to chant and dance and take prasadam. Not, you know, being stuck in the, you know, miserable, frustrating, you know, condemned existence in Kali Yuga, being degraded more and more down to, you know, a terrible situation. Preaching means they've got some realization of the opportunity to go back to God, and they do not want anyone to be saved. Not making a show of being preachers to say that now I'm good. Actually, the preacher is just a servant of everyone. Actually, the preacher is actually the servant of every living entity. That my service to you is to help you in your Christian consciousness. I have no ambition to be guru, leader, this, that, or the other. If I can serve you to give you some Christian consciousness, therefore Lord Nityananda, knocking on the door, I'm begging you, do me some service, do me a favor. Let me serve you. Let me offer you this opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, chant the name of Gaura Hari. So this is the meaning of Jagvarat. Not that we create a society of proud Brahmanas and without the real qualifications of compassion, Vaishnava. Any questions or comments about this?
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Would like to understand what it means to, because you said to perform transcendental activities, we need to have transcendental qualities. And what that means to have transcendental qualities, we have to develop them or just awaken them?
The transcendental qualities that we have to develop, we must develop. Prabhupada says that in that purport that I read, to be a pure devotee, one must develop transcendental qualities. In other words, you can't be a pure devotee, it will never happen if one doesn't develop transcendental qualities. And Prabhupada Prabhupada said it in this way also, Bhagavad Gita 9:31, is it? It's 9:30. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. And here we see that by Prabhupada mentions that because he is situated in devotional service, the good qualities will come. More and more. And so when we say develop good qualities, it means engage properly in devotional service without offences, as instructed coming down through the line of Srila Prabhupada. If we do that, the good qualities will automatically come. So if we say, I'm trying to develop the good qualities, it means that I'm trying to engage in devotional service properly. Without offense.
Yeah, I was also trying to understand if we can say that the Mujjana service is executed by the spiritual soul, or it's part of the nature of the spiritual soul. And if the spiritual soul, it doesn't have to become the spiritual soul, it is. It doesn't have to develop, it is always. So, in that sense, When we talk about developing spiritual transcendental qualities, it's not like that the soul has to develop because it's already there. So it's awakening. It's just manifested there.
So I'll get to that point.
In that sense, it's not developing.
I'll come to that.
Yeah, and in that way, for example, when we talk about developing qualities or transcendental qualities, I was confused if it is at the level of the mind, the intelligent in that sense, material, because it has to become. The spiritual needs, it doesn't have to become, it is always.
I'll come to that.
Yeah.
So just going back to this point, which is part of it, which is a preliminary understanding of what you're saying. So you have to take it step by step to understand. By engaging in devotional service, one becomes purified. It means that the good qualities of the soul, which are now covered by the material energy, become uncovered. And therefore the good qualities of the soul manifest. That is, therefore, devotional service is called pavitra. It is a pure, if we engage in it, it is the purest process, the most powerful process, and we become the most purified, or the soul becomes very quickly and fully uncovered by material contamination, by the process of devotional service, therefore it's called bhakti. But here it describes that, as we said, one must develop good qualities, transcendental qualities, in order to become a high or properly situated devotee. This, you know, we use pure devotee, sometimes people think, oh, a good quality devotee, a high quality devotee. Right? To do that, you must have high quality transcendental qualities. Must. You can't be a high devotee and low qualities. Therefore, Prabhupada says this. So first I'm saying it must. You know, that's the point to understand. We must develop them to be a properly situated devotee who personifies the Vedas. Prabhupada says, no one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. If he does not improve in his character by devotional service, then it is to be understood that he is not a high devotee. Such a person is not the personification of Vedas. Personification nonsense. But, therefore, if you want to just always remain not a good quality devotee, then we engage in all sorts of nonsense activities, even in the name of devotional service. Oh, that's a karma devotee. You know, you have to offer me respect. So, your question is that yes, the soul, these qualities are there eternally. But we have to work hard to bring back those eternal qualities of the soul. They're never lost, they're always there, but they're covered. So bringing them back means uncovering. And therefore, again, to show the same thing, in the 10th, in the in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, there's a whole list of qualities of various living entities, those in elevated and those not so elevated, and Krishna says that these qualities are created by me alone. What does that mean? In the purport, Prabhupada says, all these qualities are manifest throughout the universe in human society and in the society of demigods. There are many forms of humanity on other planets, and these qualities are there. Now, for one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, Krishna creates all these qualities. So he's created them, they're there within the soul, or they're there within the material covering, that type of quality. He says, but the person develops them himself from within. One who engages in devotional service of the Supreme Lord develops all of the qualities as arranged by the Supreme Lord. The Lord has created the qualities, they're eternally there. They're within the soul. And the bad qualities will eternally be there if we're covered by the material energy. It is up to us to develop good qualities, means to engage in devotional service, remove the material contamination, and the qualities of the soul which are created by the Lord and eternally there will manifest. But we have to do the work. If we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, we actually have to test ourselves. My advancement is not that I have so many certificates of study. This position, that position, I have so many accolades. Where are the good qualities? And if the good qualities are there, one's activities will be transcendental and one will preach Krishna consciousness nicely to each and especially to the devotees. We can't be the nonsense that I'm out in the street, big devotee, giving and distributing so many books today. Come back to the temple and I'll behave badly to the devotees. No. Pretty good preaching to the devotees because they're much eager to hear and associate. Until the devotees' faith is strong, you know, our association should inspire people to become a devotee and surrender more. Not that our association is disturbing on any level, whether out of the temple, in the temple, or in the home, should always be inspiring. And that is, and this is what Lord Vishnu is saying. And if we do engage in devotional service in that mood, I want to be a real devotee. You know, with, you know, actual qualities of devotee to listen, and, you know, actual compassion for living entities, and practicing what I've learned, not just hearsay. I want to be that type. If we do that, that devotee becomes very, very attractive to Krishna, and he helps him so much. He's very, very, very attractive. So, So if we want to hear the question, if you can't hear the question, you become immediately recognized, and you will definitely go back to Godhead in this lifetime.
Can we understand that, as you probably mentioned, by being engaged in devotional service, conscious endeavor to be engaged in devotional service, we uncover those transcendental qualities that is inherent part of our nature as a spiritual soul. But in that process, because we are, without very thick layer of covering, so in that process of uncovering, so because I didn't reach yet that transcendental qualities, so the type of activity that I'm performing, they are not transcendental yet?
If we, we all try to develop spiritual qualities, and we all have some, apart from pure devotees, but we have some material quality, we have some jealousy, some envy, intolerance. But this is the beauty of associating with pure devotees, is they're very tolerant with us. And they're very patient and not harsh and nasty. They're loving, motherly, fatherly, nurturing, pure devotees. You see pictures of, sometimes I just look at Srila Prabhupada with his disciples or with anyone, and he's just got this, beautiful mood of someone who just, he's just there for their benefit. He just loves these people, he's invested fully, his heart and soul in kindness and tolerance, and he'll do whatever it takes in a very gentle way, guiding way to help these people to become, good quality devotees. So we do have, all sorts of impurities and bad qualities, and what happens is as we go through devotional service, we start to see them. We shouldn't be alarmed by that. That's actually good, because for the first time we're looking at something that's been there for a long time and shouldn't be in our heart. So now we see the dirt, let's sweep it out. If we can't see it, then how do we sweep it out? We can't even see it. So seeing the fact that we have these injuries, that's good, it's helpful. And that's part of the process. And then we look, there's so much dust in the mirror, just wipe it off. If you don't see the dust, you just think, it's part of the reflection. You see, that's dust, that's got to go. So that's good. But if we hear and chant in association with good quality devotees, they're very tolerant. And they're very compassionate. And they actually just want to help you. And they'll not be overly critical of your bad qualities, or your faults, or your accidents, or mishaps in your ultimate service. They'll be very kind to you. And that is what people saw in Srila Prabhupada, and that's why he was so successful. And that's the type of movement we want to create, and that's the type of devotee we want to create. And that's the type of devotee we want to aspire to become.
And if you allow me to do another question in this regard, just trying also to measure with hope the level of the awakening of those qualities, when we can say that we develop those transcendental qualities, because you will see.
So for instance, you will see, it mentions there in the Bhagavad Gita 9.2 it's directly experienced, right? So we have a tendency that maybe we're a short-tempered person, right? Have a bad morning. We have a bit of a bad morning. Someone comes up and asks us something, we just find an abomination, we snap at them. As we advance in devotional service, we'll appreciate, I shouldn't really do that, especially for you. And then we'll say, I can't do that anymore. So, what's the deal? If we're still doing it after 20, 30 years, that's what Prabhupada is saying. Don't take advantage of the virtual process and not include it in one's character. And at the same time, still want the accolades that, oh, I've been around for so long. I'm so advanced because of my time I've been a devotee. If someone is a devotee for 1 year and they develop all the good qualities and transcendental situations of a devotee, then you give them full respect. It's coming from a past life, probably. But still, if it's there, you give it to them. Someone's around for 20 years and they're still the same bad qualities, practically a little improvement, then they want the respect of the 20-year devotee. But that, this is, Rishabh is not saying, hang around for 20 years and Krishna will love you. Regardless of what sort of activities you're doing and bad qualities you've got. He's not saying that. It's not a matter of time. It's not a matter of position. It's not a matter of certificates. And the devotional service is judged upon transcendental qualities, and your transcendental activities can only be the same as the transcendental qualities and realization together. They all go hand in hand. Because they're not different from one another. On the spiritual platform, your transcendental understanding, your transcendental qualities, and your transcendental form and activities are the same spiritual form. Absolutely. Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.